We've invited a few. Introduction. Yes.
Let's see if we can transfer that to the computer or to the TV. Until then, you can put that to the mic
or to the audio. Do you have more joining on your team?
From the FAA side, no. This will be us.
Okay, so we can go ahead and start. And you're up on the screen, so the rest of the board, the other people that are here. So I'm just going to kind of introduce Nanette Billings with Hurricane Sam, the mayor. And we have in the room with us today a few people from our airport board, our public works director, who has been the coordinator through the airport board and the council. We also have a few citizens that are here, and then we have Javiation as well. And Kirk McDaniel and Brad
Davis.
So a few people are in the room with me, and I was the one that asked these questions, and so I just wanted to visit. And the main, maybe you go through and tell us who you are.
Sure. My name is Eric Trinbon. I'm with the FAA Airport District Office. I cover the Southern airports.
You're an engineer, right?
Yep, I'm a civil engineer. And we've also brought in, this is the manager, and then he was formerly the state of Utah engineer for FAA as well. So,
then, can you ask him to talk
about the government between the management and historic knowledge and current knowledge?
Okay, we're going to turn this volume up a little bit better so it works, but I'm not sure. Is this the best place for the mic? Yeah, that's what it's looking like.
So, I'm looking to see if we could switch the audio to the TV instead of.
We're going to try switching the audio because I'm the only one that can really hear you on this computer. It's up on the screen, but the we're talking this. I'm sure that you can maybe not hear me as well, but the people in the room can. Can you talk again, Eric? No, not yet. Do you want to see if there's? He's just going to see if he can switch it over to this to the television. Want to see if it goes up on the other speakers.
Sure, how's that looking?
That is so much better. Awesome. You can hear you perfect. Thank you.
Good deal. Yeah, sure. I'll let these other fellows introduce themselves here real quick, just so you know what we have from the FAA side.
Awesome.
Sure, I can go next. Jesse Wyman, like Eric said, I'm the team lead for our office, so currently just handle some of our larger airports like Denver and Salt Lake, but prior to that, I was a Utah State engineer. Kind of making Eric's duties in Northern Utah, but helped kind of oversee the entire state, if you will, and have some historical knowledge on hurricane and the lightning project and stuff. So,
Jesse, are you still in St. Charles, still in Salt Lake, or are you in Denver now?
So we're all based in Denver. So our office, just so you know, covers Denver, or sorry, not Denver, Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming. So we oversee all three states,
okay. But
all of our staff are based in Denver, and then each project manager, like Eric, kind of has an assigned region of the state that they oversee.
Okay, thanks, Jesse.
You're welcome. Great. Hey, good afternoon. I'm Mark Miller, and I am the assistant manager for the Denver Airport's district office. I'm actually currently serving a detail as the acting manager as well. So
from that structure. I've been with the agency almost 20 years. I have a background in civil engineering, and a lot of my time outside of managing construction projects within the ADO, I also serve as the compliance officer as well. So grant assurances and discrimination, those activities I led for our office for about 14 of those 20 years.
Sure. So you said that you sent over that you might still have some additional questions or some questions not answered. So we've, we had the plan just to kind of do clarifications, but if there's anything else that you need or anything that you want to talk about, we are here and available and ready to try to help you out.
Sure. So the first thing that the main questions that I have that were not addressed in the email, our city, we want to protect residents, and we also want to make sure we don't have accidents with the pilots that, if they're flying at night with lights. And so specifically, in the case of an emergency landing, if we don't have lights, if we have lights on an airport, what's going to happen with the airplanes that come in if there's not visibility and they crash into the hill? So the issues that we have are, that I would like to have addressed, and it never came up in writing saying that you had that information, but somewhere, it's going to be somewhere, because our city was denied having lights on our airport. So that, though, my questions are, has the FAA ever changed their guidelines of safety protocol?
Sure, I'll try to take that. So I don't think I can speak specifically to if FAA has ever changed their guidelines to safety protocol. I mean, we've always obviously encouraged airports to be the safest they can be. Certainly design standards have changed throughout the year, but like I said in the email, with Hurricane coming into the Nimbus, into the federal airport system back in about 2008, anything before that we weren't involved in that from a federal standpoint. Once you guys came into the Nimbus in 2008, that's where our office got involved, and I guess all these requests for lighting or other projects the city's had have always come through our office. There hasn't been other offices involved in those funding type of decisions. So for the lighting, or for any project related to airport, it's all based on, is the project eligible and is it justified? So, lighting at Hurricanes Airport, since you've been in the Nimbus, has always been eligible. For us, it really came down to a justification piece. And again, like I said in the email, when we brought you guys in, the runway at the time didn't meet our design standards for the type of aircraft coming into your airport. And so we didn't feel at the time it was appropriate use of funds to put lighting onto a runway that, one, didn't meet standards, and two, we were planning on lightening and bringing up to standards in the near future. And so we didn't want to, we didn't feel it was just time to pay for the lights then, to have to repay for them to get moved out once that runway was widened.
So I don't think you've answered my question, though. My question is, has FAA changed their standard for Hurricane City to have lights on their airport? Because we were told no.
Okay, and that, he answered that when it was narrower and didn't meet federal standards, they denied it. Now that it's been brought up to federal standards, now it qualifies. That's how, that was the perspective. I was on the city council back then. Ethel Humphreys was over the airport, and it was denied because it wasn't wide enough, it wasn't smooth enough, it did not meet federal standards, and they knew down the road, because it was becoming the nippiest one, that eventually it would qualify once we got the monies back from the feds that the users of the airport pay their $250 a gallon taxes that we get back anyway.
So what was the year that the airport, the widening of the airport to make it so it was up to the standard?
2019, I believe, 2020.
I'd
have to look for sure.
2019. Kurt McDaniel said JVH, and said 2019.
It was approved in like 2014, but we let another airport do theirs and it ended up being done in 2019-2020.
So I think the difference in what John is talking about and what both Chuck and Matt have talked about, they both said that the reason that it was turned down was because of the terrain, not what the FAA has said or what you're saying, John, is that both of those men said specifically that the airport was turned down, wasn't the width, and it may have also contributed.
Well,
but it's
been turned down for really big lights and, you know, big, but not for, these are just the basic, okay, here's the outline to kill the.
But if we don't know who turned them down, we really don't know, we can't question them and ask them, was those lights the ones proposed or not?
So this is the question, Jesse.
It's really important, we need to find out. I think we found them, actually. We've got an old phone book that we've got to chase down to find out who, and they said it was in the Salt Lake office, to try to chase down two different people at the FAA, specific to terrain, though, not width of runway. What I will say is that it very easily could have been a contributing factor later, the width of the runway.
So we're saying that the runway width could be, but that isn't what the people that we've talked to in our community, it's not, and that we're on the airport board, that is not the reason that it was turned down, because of the width.
So,
but
I'm right, and so I've also heard about the terrain issue in the past, and like I said, that's something none of us on the call can speak to, because none of us have made that statement. We don't have written documentation of that statement anywhere. I'm not denying that it may have been said by someone in the past, maybe by someone in our office, but none of us have said it, and, you know, the person that may have said it, or project managers add that were 10 years ago when that time frame pilot happened,
sure,
are no longer in our office. So we don't have anyone, you know, within our office to check with to see if that statement was ever made. You know, again, from the FAA, I'll say, official standpoint, you know, we don't have anything within our guidance that would, you know, specifically deny runway lighting because of terrain. You know, if you have terrain next to the airport, you're automatically denied. We don't have anything like that. We do send it through what we call our airspace process, which Jared did on this project, where we have the other FAA lines of business look at it, like flight standards, flight procedures, tech ops, air traffic. So we have all the other lines of business look. I can't speak to what they do or don't look at, if terrain was part of their evaluation or not. But we did run it through our airspace process, and we didn't get any objection to the project or any comments on the project specifically. So from that standpoint, we've kind of met, you know, our criteria to continue on with the project. And again, like I said, now that the runway's widened and meets our standards in that regard, that's where the lighting, from our standpoint, now becomes justified to do as a project.
So here's the question. During the capital facilities plan and during, I don't know what's the name of the other type of plan, when they put it on and say, hey, will you fund this project, is there a different process for the lighting?
I'm sorry, for the what?
For the lighting, because that's when it was turned down, wasn't with the capital facilities, because from my understanding, when they met with this FAA rep in like 2015 or 16, the rep said, listen, just put it on your capital facilities plan and just let it work its way up, and when it gets to the top, you'll be able to have it approved that way. So what you're saying is they're two separate ways, and they're not looking at it the same. The FAA is not there scrutinizing it the same as they would through the capital facilities, not as much as if it was a different avenue.
So I'm not aware of any separate process. We do kind of have one process we go through, the capital improvement plan process. You know, we offer airports the opportunity to meet with us yearly, or when we used to go in person to the airport conferences, we meet with airports twice a year at those conferences, but our formal process takes place once a year. We have the opportunity for airports to meet with us, you know, discuss projects. We give our feedback on projects, you know, if they're eligible, if they're justified, depending on the type of funding being requested, you know, when we anticipate having that funding available. You know, so again, it's hard for me to see that far in the past, because I, as a Utah state engineer, I was only there from about mid-2017 on. So I can't speak to the past conversations before that, but my understanding was, again, with the runway project, we were looking at doing lighting with it. It just didn't work out with the funding available. And so that's why we then programmed the lighting as the next big project for the airport, because we knew these were accessing the airport for a long time. It was important to them to have the lighting, and so we plan that as our next large project to do after the runway, knowing the importance to the airport.
Well, it's been important to the airport since the airport was built. But the last 20 years, the understanding I have from other board members previous to this board is the reason is, has nothing to do with not having a wide enough runway. It had to do with the terrain. And so that's why it's been taken off of the, not just the capital facilities, but taken off the plate and not even being able to be addressed because they've said it will not work. And so they were told by an FAA representative to put it on the capital facilities and then it could work its way up and not have any problems. So my concern is Hurricane City's liability to say, oh, the FAA's told us no because of the blast and the Molly's nipple, but now we're putting it on the plan because it went through a different process. And then what's our liability to say there's an airport airplane at the end of the runway that turns to the east instead of the west out of our, you know, ascending flight path, and they run into the hill, and the city is now liable for having lights on the runway in the night.
Sure, concern. No, absolutely. And we understand your concerns. And again, it's just hard for us to speak to the train issue because none of us were there at that time. I can say with almost 100% confidence, because I can't be right 100% sure all the time, but I can say that lighting project has never gone through a different process to get where it is today. I don't know that I can say any more on that, really. And we definitely understand your concerns from the safety and the liability perspective. You know, if you choose to move forward with the project, and again, that's another point I want to reiterate here, is it is the city's choice to move forward with the project. We are not here to tell you to do the lights or tell you to not do them. So we're just here as a funding mechanism and, you know, showing support that way for the project. But, you know, there are a couple other things we can do, you know, as part of this. One of them's already been done. We're on your 5010, which is the airport master record,
right,
and the resource that pilots can use when they fly into airports. We already have a list of that for your circling approaches. They normally go in a left-hand pattern when you take off. We do have it as a right-hand pattern, if I got that right, for the one runway end. So that way both, no matter which direction an aircraft departs, they're turning away from the bluff or mountain, if you will. So, you know, we already have that in place. And I did go do some digging as well, because we have another airport up in Wyoming, Du Bois, Wyoming, that has a similar situation. Their mountain is not as tall as yours. It's about 400 feet tall, but about similar distance or maybe a bit closer to the runway. And they also have a note on their 5010 to warn pilots, you know, to stay north because there are mountains south. So that's another thing we can look at for hurricane, is to put, you know, stay west because there's a mountain east of the airport. So there's some things we can help them in place to give pilots, you know, especially the ones that aren't familiar with hurricane, give them more education of what's around that airport. But I mean, ultimately it is on the pilots to look at those things and know what they're flying into before they fly into the airport.
Yes, do you want to talk in the microphone? Then they'll be able to hear you on Zoom too.
Sure.
Thanks. This is our mayor, John Grammel, that was our previous mayor. He's been on the airport board, so he's going to address you.
Hi, Mr. Lyman. When I moved to Hurricane in 1990, my friends flew me in, and they clicked, and the lights lit up, you know, through 90 to 93. But there was settling on the airport, and it became no longer safe in those pilots because the terrain of the up and down of the airport, they said, hey, we don't want people landing at nighttime with this rough of stuff unless they knew the airport. But I don't know when the lights were taken out or why or what. I know Laren for 20 years has been saying we want lights on the airport. Chuck has been saying we want lights on the airport, and we've been told no for all those years. But, you know, bless Evelyn Humphrey's heart, like 2000 through 2008, applied and got, we kept it putting on and trying. But once we got it to this level, we're grateful that they'll put it on now, that we have a nice level one that meets, you know, I mean, we didn't even meet 1985 standards back then. So now we meet 2022 standards. And And I think it's a real blessing, but it's not like we're going to become a regional or a international airport. It's
not making it as worried about any of those
issues. It's just this safety factor.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. So
anyway.
Okay, so I mean, so I'm even hearing from our previous mayor that it's been denied, and so that's a concern. I want to get to the real question is, where do we find out about the denial and why?
Again, it's hard for us to speak to because we don't have anything in writing. And I don't want to discount what anyone's saying and say that it wasn't said. I can't say that it was said. I can't say that it wasn't. But
see, it's come to our council, and we are the only municipality or municipal airport that doesn't have lighting. I think the only one is maybe one with Hankshire, and they have one airplane.
They have lights.
We're the only one, and there was a reason. I mean, why did this come up like this? And that's what we're wanting to find out, why. And if that's only, because it was never even mentioned about the width of the runway. That's never even been said anything to me until I received your email back.
Go ahead.
The thing is that we...
Hang on, I'm going to let... So this is Dave Houston. He's on the airport board.
So all the time that I've been involved with the airport, we never had any official word, any written document from the FAA or anything like that that said the airport, Hurricane Airport, couldn't be lighted. It was always just rumors from pilots who had been there for many years that, like when I first came on in, out here in, I think it was 2004, maybe, something like that, I asked about lights, and the word was, the FAA won't let it because we have this bluff out here next to us. But as I would fly around to other airports, I saw airports that had much worse terrain features than that, than what we had here, and they had lights. And so when I got involved with the airport board, and I started going to the planning meetings that you guys have with us here at UAOA conferences, Art, who was the airport manager at the time, I remember sitting there with him, and we asked the current FAA representatives, can we get lights? And, we brought up the point that, we've heard that because of our bluff, we can't get lights, but where is that documentation that says we can't have lights? And they said, we'll look into it. And they said, we don't know anything about it, but we'll look into it. And over the course of about a year and a half, it seems like, maybe a little bit longer, they finally came back and said, we can't find anything that says that you can't qualify for lighting. And so if you want to put it on your capital improvement project list, go ahead. And that's what we did, is we talked about it at the board meetings, and this was wide open to the public. And nothing was ever hidden, like has been kind of mentioned in previous meetings. Anyway, that's kind of how this all came about, is we just asked, can we put them on the capital improvement list? And they said, sure. So we did. And they worked their way up. Like Mayor Brandel said, we had to loan the money sometimes, the loan manipulous money, a time or two to other airports. But finally, and we put in fencing, and we put in drainage work, and we did the new runway and the new taxiway, and all this time, the lights just moved their way up the list, and they were talked about at airport board meetings for years as being on that capital improvement list. And now they've made it to the top, and we all went through this process, and they got approved, and you guys paid for the engineering, and we got to the point of awarding the contract to the contractor, and now all of a sudden people start all worried about what are the lights going to do for us. So I'm just telling you how I remember it happening. All that time where they said that was because of the bluff, that was just rumors. We never had any documentation from anybody. And you know how rumors get going and how they change and get expanded and whatever else. It's very possible that that's why, years and years and years ago, they said we couldn't have lights because of the width of the runway and the condition of the runway. But I never saw any written documents that dealt with that or any that dealt with the bluff, per se. That was just rumors from local pilots.
Well, it wasn't even just local pilots. So Charles Reeve is one of the people that I've talked to, and he is, Charles is actually, he was a pilot and he was on the airport board, but he actually met with an FAA representative, and during his communication with him, the representative, that's an engineer, just like Mr. Eric, he actually told him it's because of the bluff. So whether or not it is or not, when a pilot's told that on the airport board, it makes you question. So I don't know, you're saying you can't find anything. All of you are new. It sounds like that not any of you have been in there for, you know, those last 15, 20 years that some of this has been happening.
No, I'll say we're not all new. I've been in the office for almost 13 years now. Mark's going on 20 years. So, I mean, Mark and I have both been around for quite a while, just not necessarily working in the southern region and a part of those conversations. You know, we all land around areas. You know, again, I'll just reiterate from our side, yeah, we can't find anything. You know, all we can speak to really is where we're at now, and that, you know, we do support the project. If the town or the city decides to move forward with it, you know, we've gone through our airspace review, which is part of our process. We didn't get any comments or objections back from the airline's business. You know, so again, and I've talked about a couple of things we could do with your master record to identify the terrain there. You know, so at this point, it really is up to the city to decide to move forward or not with the project.
Okay. So a couple of questions that I had besides that. One of them was regarding not lighting the project. If it wasn't approved by the council, so it was brought to the council and they said, we have free money. It's a grant that's been issued because of COVID and this is to pay for engineering. And the council specifically asked the question, what if we don't approve the lights after they've been engineered? And they said, it's fine, we don't have to approve them because the council has to pay for the lighting, and if we decide not to do that, that's up to the council. And it was never brought up to us that we wouldn't have to, I mean, that we'd have to pay that back. Tell me what because in the emails that have come back to you, it was, you would have to pay the $138, $108,000 back.
Correct. And so as a condition of the grant last year, you guys accepted for the design, there was a condition in there that if you don't construct the lights within 2 years of finishing up the design, that we would need the design money to pay back, because by our policies with our airport improvement program, we need to get a useful unit of work at the end of the day. And so for us, that's getting a functioning lighting system if we're going to pay for the design of the lighting system. And so we have it in the grant agreement as a condition that if we don't get that useful unit of work, at least started under construction within 2 years of that design grant, then we would expect the design money to pay back because we didn't get our usable unit at the end of the day.
Oh, I have a question.
Okay, so we have a citizen. He's been on the airport board before, Jason Campbell.
Hi, Eric. In that process of the payback, is that policy something, what I wanted you, and is not sound, the question is, my concern is that the council approved the engineering of the lights. After that process happened, then the rumors that the FAA had turned down the airport lighting in the past due to the terrain were then verified, both in written form and in witness testimony. So the city, after they approved that engineering to go forward, then confirmed that the rumors were true. And is there a process in which Perkins City can work with the FAA, look at those facts, and use that as some sort of negotiation or work on a negotiation with the FAA on the request to return the funds? You guys use the word request to use the funds instead of a demand or require. Was that on purpose or was that?
No. I'll say it's required to return the funds if you don't start the project within 2 years.
And then the outline of the timing of the events wouldn't mean anything in that requirement.
Unfortunately, not, because at that point, you know, those were assuming city discussions with the airport and users and citizens and perhaps a consultant, but no, that probably wouldn't be a consideration. I mean, we can try to ask it up the line, but I'm not aware that that would play into our consideration to not repay the funds.
Thank you.
Okay, so just another quick question, and then somebody else has a question. I just wanted to ask about if we don't take any more money from, I guess, FAA, if we don't take more, does that just mean that right now it stops and we have no more funding for our airport? Because this was one of the suggestions that was brought to me by a citizen, so I just wanted to ask about this. So two things. The city's required to pay about $40,000-ish for the lights. So if that doesn't come from the city and it wants to come from pilots that actually use the airport, then they can help maybe fund that. If their funding isn't coming from the city or pilots, then what's the process here? I want to hear what happens.
So I guess I'll try to answer the local share portion first. So,
okay.
Yeah, so for Hurricane Airport, federally, on most grants, we pay 90.63% of the project costs. The last couple of years with COVID thrown in the mix, it's been a little bit different because Congress has given us additional money so that we can pay 100% of the project costs, which is how your design grant for the lighting was funded. That one was 100% federal. But for grants issued this year, it's back to the normal federal share of 90.63%. So the local share is left at the 9.27%, which in Utah gets split half and half between the local sponsor and Utah Aeronautics. So for the share that needs to come from the local sponsor, we don't dictate necessarily where that comes from. It doesn't have to be a city general fund. Like you said, if pilots want to chip in and pay that local share, we don't dictate any of that. If the city, and I'll probably turn it over to Mark here in a minute, but if the city chose not to accept the grant, repay the design fund to kind of clear this project out of the way, it doesn't mean we won't stop funding the airport. With the lighting project specifically, though, I can say that the funding for the project from us came from two different pots. One of it is an airport's entitlement, which Cherokee gets $150,000 each year that they can save up for projects. So this year, I think Hurricane had saved up just under $400,000 to put towards this project of entitlement. And then the second pot of money we're using to help cover the remaining project costs is what we call state apportionment. It's still a federal pot of money through the Airport Improvement Program, but it's money given to the state as a whole. So in Utah, we get about $3.75 million per year of state apportionment. And through funding requests from all the airports, we look at and kind of decide which airports receive that funding. And so, again, we looked at Hurricane and said, Hurricane needs about an extra, I think the time is $400,000 or $500,000 towards the lighting. And, so we're putting that additional state apportionment towards it. So if you decide not to move forward with the project this year from a funding perspective and came back to us in, let's say, 5 years and said, yeah, we want to do lighting now and move forward with it, the state apportionment piece is probably going to be harder to find because we already have that money committed to other airports for probably about 7 to 9 years out.
Sure.
So we'd probably be looking at your entitlement funding only.
Okay.
And then the part that's going to turn over to Mark to speak to is with each grant you accept, there are grant assurances associated with it. And that, I guess it's called the strings attached part of the grant that, tells the airport and the sponsor, the city in this case, that you need to live up to these grant assurances, or else we may not continue to fund your airport. So, Mark, that if you want to talk just a little on grant assurances and how long they apply and that sort of thing.
Yes, no, absolutely, Jesse. So, the grant assurances do accompany each grant, so it's almost like starting the clock. Generally, they are looked at from a 20-year lifespan perspective. So they're effective for 20 years. The caveat is if a sponsor has taken federal funds to purchase or reimburse land acquisition on the airport, those grant assurances associated with the land acquisition run in perpetuity. So for simplistic discussions, the 20-year life cycle of a grant, several of the grant assurances still apply, even if a sponsor were to not accept another grant from today. It would be 20 years going forward that the airport has agreed to maintain and operate the airport in an open to the public, safe, efficient manner. So that would include a paid maintenance by 20 years. It will have needed probably rehabilitation of the runway and the bigger surfaces. So it is more than just, you know, crack seal coat going down and band-aiding out the runway together. It's a tough one. It is part of the, as Jesse said, kind of strings. Sometimes there are steel cables a little bit to help ensure that the airports are effectively serving their role within the national airspace system as a whole. It's basically the federal highway system for aviation activity. So having that assurance up to 20 years is where the sponsors have committed themselves with the acceptance of the treaty.
Okay. Does someone else have another question?
Is there a question?
Scott's on our airport, he's a pilot, and he's on our airport board as well.
So the question about, I think from what I've listened to, one of the primary concerns here is, was there a denial because of terrain? So my question now is, all right, so the standards that are in place, the review process that took place for this lighting project through the airspace, I can't remember what you called it, but the airspace review system, does it really matter whether it was denied from the FAA perspective, you know, 30 years ago, if that somebody made that statement, because now it has passed all the current standards? Is that correct?
Sure. Yep. And yeah, I mean, from our perspective, it doesn't matter what was said in the past about the denial with the terrain, especially unfortunately, because nothing is in writing. Obviously, for this discussion, we would like to see something in writing as well, just I think to have a better discussion on it. But since it was sounded like just verbal statements, and we can't find anything, all we can look at right now for us is moving forward, and obviously. It is a project to be supported for at least a few years because it didn't just pop up overnight on the CIP, especially to get the state apportionment need for it. It's been on for a few years. So it is something we have supported from that standpoint, at least financially. So, yeah.
Okay. Do you have another question?
Yes. It's Jason again. My question is in that process, is there a safety review portion of that process for lighting in particular? Can we look back at the FAA? Is there a document or a recording of that safety process or that safety assessment at Hurricane? And does it have anything specific that we can get a hold of and read?
So. Yes, I'll say, try to be clear on this. Terminology is a little important on this one. There is no safety assessment, like a form or evaluation process in that sense. Again, the airspace processes are our analysis of the safety of the project, and our evaluations. Does the project present a hazard to air navigation? Again, I can't speak to what other lines of business look at throughout that process. I don't know if the terrain played an impact or not through their reviews. But the airspace processes are way to evaluate whether that specific project will cause a hazard to air navigation. But again, just want to be clear again that I can't speak to if terrain played into other lines of business review.
That's really important, certainly important to me. If, where was that safety? I mean, it seems to me that somebody had to do some sort of safety analysis before you do any kind of projects anymore. It seems like that it should be part of the process. If somebody else other than you, I think is what you're saying, is responsible to ask those questions about safety, including terrain. Is that correct?
You know, I mean, we could probably reach out to Flight Standards, which I think would be the one that would I provide most input on this specific topic and see what their reviewer would look at. Because each, you know, including ourselves, each line of business within the FAA has certain parameters of that project they look at from an airspace perspective. You know, our parameter in airports is to look at the project and make sure that it doesn't impact our design standards. You know, another office looks at it to see if it impacts the Part 77 airspace. But again, it's only for that object. Really, to me, I think where the terrain would come into play more so down the road is if the airport decided to get instrument procedures into the airport. You know, that's something that flight procedures would take into account as a potential obstruction, and it may affect the type of procedures that can come into the airport. But for the lighting...
Okay, so there was a lot of information there that I was trying to wade through.
I mean, really, specifically,
I'm looking for somebody that we can send a message to that requests whatever, if any, safety thoughts were put towards or safety approvals if there were anything concerning the terrain. It's important because I think what the mayor has been trying to say is that it's not necessarily that the FAA will or will not be in trouble. It is specific to the liability and the exposure Hurricane City has. We're in public meetings, they're recorded. We have witness testimony that says the FAA has told Hurricane City not to put lights there. And we're looking for a reason other than to approve lights where if there is an accident on that terrain, it's going to be Hurricane City's liability. It's not going to be yours. This process is well documented. The FAA has turned down the lights at Hurricane City for terrain issues, and that will be presented in a court of law in case of accident. It's unreasonable to think that it won't. So is there somebody somewhere in some department that's associated with these lights, because that's the thing on the table now in particular, but improvements at our airport that has to do with the safety of the terrain? Do you know who that person is?
Sure. And like I said, we reach out to Flight Standards because I believe they'd be the line of business that would evaluate something like that, again, through the airspace process. And I don't know what all they look at, but we'll reach out to Flight Standards, you know, see if we can get you guys in contact as well. Probably out at the Salt Lake Flight Standard District Office.
I mean, this is what people are saying, and they're credible people. These aren't people that lie in our community. So if these people are saying that it's because of the bluff, I want to know that the flight standards are saying it's not because of the bluff, it's because your runway didn't have a fence around it. It didn't meet the standards because it wasn't wide enough. It didn't meet the standards because it wasn't smooth enough. Whatever those are. But we don't have anything. All we have is that they've said this has happened. And so what you're telling me is we don't have anything documented. And it just doesn't make me feel better to say, let's go to the council and have them say, it's fine. Before it wasn't fine, but today it's fine. So
believe me, we do understand your concerns. We really do.
Yeah.
Again, like you're experiencing too, it's just hard to talk about some of those past conversations without any written documentation to really go off and see who might have said it and what exactly was said and that sort of thing. So,
right. Well, the written documentation we have is minutes in the meetings, and so that's what I'm concerned about is that they're saying this and then it's coming back to say, it's fine. So I really want to make sure that we are addressing this and that it's not because of... Okay, so
no,
do you want to reach back out to me? I will just let you get a hold of the...
Yes, let's try to find a contact. I'll talk with them first and lets you know who we talked to and if you need to reach out and,
okay.
and see if they can answer any additional questions.
One second. Our Councilman Heideman wanted...
Keep your microphone on. She's telling we had a wreck last week.
We had a wreck last week, and it was after dark. It was just probably an hour after dark, and it had missed the runway. It overshot it, went into the ditch, just past the runway, ruined the plane. Two people were in the plane and walked out of it, but that's one of the concerns.
That's two broken backs, one lacerated mouth, and one lacerated head, according to St. George.
I didn't hear that they were even injured. I heard they weren't injured.
They were in the hospital in Las Vegas. I read the St. George News.
That was the St. George wreck.
The people that were hurt and walked away, and the reason I know is because they put their plane in the Sky Ranch area. Yeah. I know where it's at. And I talked to them. They didn't have any lacerations.
And what happened on that accident was the aircraft tried to land at night without lights, landed halfway down the runway. The runway's only 3,300 feet. Couldn't get stopped, went off the end of the runway. To me, that's a testament why it's important to have lights and a PAPI so that doesn't happen.
So, another question. Is there any money available from the FAA to put a culvert in and extend that runway with like pea gravel? That would be something to slow that same situation, maybe slow the airplane down enough so that it would stop and not run into the fence or, you know, wreck.
So, I'll ask his question, but I mean, really, airplanes or air pilots, I guess the pilot, they have the information if we have lights or not. And that is their responsibility to make sure they're not landing after dark in the middle of a dark place. And so it really is their fault. Not that we don't have lights, it's their fault for flying when it's night and they can't see. But the question was, would it be an option to put a culvert and put some pea gravel there to slow down an airplane? I've never heard of an airport that's done something like that to slow something like that down. I think that'd be even more dangerous. I don't know.
So I think there's a couple things there. One, from a funding perspective, I think the short answer is no. That there's, from our side, at least, there's not funding available for it. You know, when we reconstructed that runway back in 2019, you know, we constructed it to the standards of that airport, which includes runway safety area, comes around the runway, so there's a certain length off each end of the runway and to the sides that, you know, we dictate the grades and the slopes and the smoothness and everything. So if an airplane does run off, in theory, that should be enough that aircraft can stop within that area. You know, locally, if that's something that's being looked at, you know, we'd probably like to have some discussions on that, because I think we would have concerns potentially having loose gravel around, because it creates a fog issue for an optic debris that can get sucked up. So.
We have one more question by Dave Houston, board member.
So I don't have a question, I just have kind of a comment. So along that same thinking, where this pilot landed at dark and took on the responsibility for himself to land, it's the same kind of deal with any pilot who would come in at night. When we have this published on our on that form you talked about, where it lists all of our 5010. Okay, so when we have that published on that, and it goes into the flight guides and the chart supplement and everything else, that you have to turn, you know, to these right or left hand patterns, that pretty much alleviates the city from liability. If somebody happened to turn to the east and hit in there, turned the wrong way, they're not following, you know, as a pilot, the FAA regulation 91103 says you have to become familiar with all available information about that flight. That shifts the burden of responsibility from the FAA, from the city, and everybody else onto that pilot. If they make the mistake and turn the wrong way, they're the ones that are at fault. Same way this guy landed too long the other night, you know, he's not going to be able to do much about suing the city.
I understand that his engine shut down. Is that true or false?
No.
That was my engine that shut down. And I ended up in the ditch. And I've talked to Nanette about that. And I'd say the city of Hurricane isn't very concerned with injuries to pilots, because this has been a problem. The fix is easy. You just put some culverts, as you had said, and cover that up, blade it out so there's a smoother area. But having a massive drainage ditch off the end of the runway. I got to experience it firsthand. There was another pilot that died because of that. So, you know, I can appreciate your comments, but I don't think the concern is really for the safety of the pilots. It seems to be that your concerns are more for trying to keep the lights out, and the nighttime operations is what you said in the last city council meeting.
So what I said in the last city council meeting is I am concerned about pilots. I'm concerned about the residents that are having lights on the air. Right now, we have a historical airport that has never had lights. And so I'm concerned that if pilots choose to fly at night and they crash, is it the city's fault that they chose to fly at night and they crashed? We're not wanting someone to crash. We don't want anyone to crash. We want to help everyone. But there's always going to be things that the city can do to mitigate that. Always. I mean, we'll never get rid of that.
Well, how about filling in, putting culverts in that area so it makes it safer if you lose an engine on takeoff?
Yeah, and those are all part of the airport plan of things that we can work on, for sure. And no one's wanting to have...
Yeah, this really isn't that part of this meeting.
No, I understand.
We should discuss later.
Jason has another comment.
I do. What I want to comment is the city's liability. And this is not something that I'm guessing. I can assure you that because of the past conversations from the FAA, the credible witness, that absolutely, that is the city's liability. If they don't properly get through this process, there is no question that liability will fall onto Hurricane Cities. They will be involved in that lawsuit.
I disagree.
You don't know that.
I do know that. I don't know. I know that the city will be involved in that lawsuit.
Well, they may be involved. Okay. Anybody can be involved in a lawsuit.
I agree with that.
They're not going to be held liable.
I disagree. Strongly disagree with that.
So, Jesse, will you get the information, reach back out? Okay, we're meeting on May the 7th. That's when our city council meeting, but I'd love to meet before so that we can have information. There's supposed to be an airport board meeting on April the 18th, I think. I cannot be at that airport board meeting. I have to be at a different meeting, which is April 19th.
Mayor?
Yes.
The city council meeting, I think, was the 5th. You said the 7th.
Sorry, May 5th. Thursday, May 5th. I said the wrong date. Thanks.
And the airport board meeting is on the 19th.
The airport board meeting is on the 19th, and I will not be at the airport board meeting. I'm going to be at another meeting that day.
Has it been reinstated? Because I got a message saying it was canceled because nobody put any agenda items on it.
For the airport board meeting?
The airport board meeting for April.
That hasn't even been issued. That hasn't been asked for.
Well, I got an email. Yeah.
March just was canceled.
That was water.
It was the water board that was canceled, but the airport board meeting has not been,
it hasn't been issued.
But I'm going to recommend we hold off until May to have an airport board meeting. And the reason I'm going to say that is because there's some things that need to be addressed with our council, because there's been some things that have been approved through the airport board that haven't gone through the proper channels. For example, they have to come to the council and they either have to have recommendation from the mayor and then the council chooses what they are that they're voting on, and that hasn't happened in some of that process. So I'm going to say, let's just wait until after our city council meeting, have the following airport board meeting on May the 17th. So Jesse, we'll wait and hear back from you. And yeah, I will send this information to everyone. I've got emails and we can send this out so the airport board's aware. And then they'll be at the city council meeting that we can visit.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. I think we can get you a flight standards contact here in the coming days. It shouldn't take more than a couple of days to try to track that down. The one thing I did want to mention is on timing. I know Eric has probably talked to you guys a little bit about it as well, but we are in the middle of our grant season right now.
Of your what season?
No, of our grant season, issuing grants.
Okay.
Our fiscal year ends in September.
Yeah.
It is our goal to always have grants issued by middle of summer at the latest. With Hurricane, since we already have bids open, we know the costs, we have the funding there. For Hurricane, we could probably issue a grant by the end of May. So what I was going to say, just from a timing perspective, with your city council and airport board meetings,
okay.
you know, in those main meetings, I think is when we're going to be looking at you guys for a go or no go on the project.
Yep. So. And I think that's, we're planning to, I was going to say, the council's planning to make a decision on May 5th.
Okay,
sounds great. Appreciate your help.
Great.
Jesse. Thank you.
Yeah, Tom. Yeah, say, Mark or Eric, you guys have any final comments tomorrow? Yeah, thanks, Jesse. I do. I just wanted to recap a little bit, because I heard discussion about exposure, liability. The FAA and our National Airspace System is set up on a foundation of standards, whether they come through statute, through the FAA order, the advisory circulars, which help lay out the various design categories, including a runway safety area off the end of the runway, spaces that need to be protected, runway lighting standards. You can look at the requirements for a pilot to get their license. As was mentioned earlier, that there's responsibilities that when somebody gets into that cockpit, they are going to follow all applicable rules and regulations. All of these come together and make the fabric that is the safest aerospace system within the world. We still have accidents.
Yeah.
It does happen. There are mishaps that happen at night, that happen during the day, that happen due to loss of situational awareness of pilots, sometimes it's mechanical failure. Unfortunately, those are not built into it, but it's a very small fraction. So I guess I would just stress that as things are standardized, whether it's the lighting, the runway width, the notices, the notes on the 5010 documents, all of those play together to help hopefully at least alleviate some of that burden or the responsibility that might be felt initially from an accident. All parties, ourselves included, would get roped into it at the very beginning. If there's a fatality, it
disconnected. Annette, are we going to be voting on the lighting issue on May the 5th?
Thank you.
Okay, Scott has a presentation there, a PowerPoint presentation, that he'd like to make at that meeting too.
Yeah, no, Scott and I are going to meet before that. We'll probably meet Wednesday to talk about the noise ordinance, because that's a very important aspect of.
We're going to be meeting when?
Well, I don't know. I sent him some dates and told him some times that I could meet. He said he'd meet when I'm available, and I sent him some time, so I don't know.
But Wednesday.
We're going to meet, and we'll talk about the presentation and the noise ordinance. So, okay, I appreciate everyone. I really do. Thank you for your work and effort.
Is that on our end or there?
I don't know. It just clicked off. So I'm going to say either the meeting ended or someone actually...